Believe it or not, this is the 10th episode of the Everyday Immigration Podcast. Well, really the 12th episode if you count our two bonus episodes, and if you take into account the YouTube presentations we put together, I guess it's our 15th. Basically, we've done a lot of content since we started back in July. Today also happens to be the finale of our first season, and don't worry, we have lots of content coming up next year, including a great interview with a pair of filmmakers, one of whom is herself an immigrant. But before we take a short break for the holidays, I thought I'd take just a couple of minutes to talk about some of the immigration law changes that have happened since we started just back on July 4th. Some of those changes we've talked about earlier either on a podcast episode or on our YouTube channel. On our YouTube channel, we talked about the proposed changes to the public charge rules. Under the public charge rules, the government can prevent you from getting permanent residence if it thinks you are going to be a financial burden on the government. It looks at your financial past, it looks at how much your spouse makes, if it's a family-based petition, to determine whether you would become someone who would go on public benefits. The new rules that were proposed would be increasingly strict. It would look at new factors such as whether you have or could potentially be on food stamps. Because of this, the new forms that were issued with these regulations were going to require employers to investigate whether their foreign national employees had in fact ever been on food stamps. And you can imagine the burden that that would put on employers to testify under penalty of perjury whether or not a proposed employee had been on food stamps. There could be employment law considerations as well as privacy considerations. Those rules were enjoined, which means that a federal court, in fact several federal courts, stopped those rules from going into effect. But there have been other changes that have in fact gone into effect. A few months back, we talked about the EB-5 regulations with Crystal Osmond and Stevie Allaire. Unlike the public charge rules, those rules did in fact go into effect. Just by way of overview, the EB-5 program allows an investor to invest a significant sum of money into a project or a business, and if that investment creates 10 jobs, that individual, that investor, is allowed to get a green card. However, the minimum investment under these new rules has gone up from $500,000 up to $900,000, and that went into effect on November 21st. If you want to hear more about that, go ahead and listen to our bonus episode with Crystal and Steve. But here's a clip.
So Steve, you know, the impetus behind EB-5, you know, when you look at the actual federal code, it's called the Employment Creation Visa, right? Because each of these investments presumably creates 10 jobs. Do you think that there could be a negative impact on the amount of jobs that the program creates then?
Unfortunately, yes. I think we'll see a surge in filings between now and November 21st as people try to get in under the wire at the $500,000 level. And then I think we'll see, unfortunately, a deep decrease in the number of filings after that, not only because of the new increased investment amounts, but because these regulations do not address the backlogs in various countries such as China and India and Vietnam. And people are going to be understandably reluctant to put in $1.8 million and wait, you know, 5 or 10 years to be able to get a green card based on that investment. So I think that a legislation by Congress would make many more improvements to the EB-5 program. And I hope that Congress will enact legislation. But I think for the time being, we have to live with these regulations and plan accordingly. And so we'll see a deep decline after November 21st.
There have been other proposed changes as well. USCIS is currently looking to raise the filing fees associated with many immigration filings. Looking to become a citizen, the current proposal would raise the fee 83% to over $1,100. Looking to work or get travel authorization while seeking a green card, in many statuses, in order to do that, you have to file something called an I-765 along with an I-131. Currently, that's included with the cost of seeking a green card. That changes under these new proposals, which would increase the cost from zero up to over $1,000 each year in order to extend this work and travel authorization. We don't know yet whether this is going to go into effect as the government is receiving public comment. The way most regulations work is that the government puts out a proposal and then it invites comment. And so anyone in the public is allowed to comment on a regulation to say how it would affect them. So it's undergoing that process right now. So we don't know what the final fees will end up being or when they would be implemented. This is in addition to countless other immigration policy changes. Basically, things change quickly in immigration. even if the actual immigration statutes passed by Congress don't. It's a lot to keep track of, but we look forward to following it with you here on the Everyday Immigration Podcast. We're going to leave it there for now, but here's a sneak peek of what's coming next year.
Because while you're an immigrant, your life doesn't stop. Life happens.
No, life happens, absolutely.
And so that was quite frightening for me because I was on my own.
Yeah.
I had my, you know, the fellowship and everything, but still it is every year. And, you know, PhD program, especially in the humanities, take more than 5 years. So my discipline was English, and it took me a while to finish it, partly because, you know, other things in life were slowing it down. So nevertheless, I would extend my visa, but there came a time when I was quite afraid to kind of lose that F1 status.
So let's talk about Three Trembling Cities. So this is a web-based television show, right? So, or maybe not, a television show might not be the right word if it's web-based, but it's a web-based production. It's episodic. It seems to follow two main characters. Is that right? So it's Ermi and Babacar seem to be the primary protagonists of the show.
Yes, that's right.
Okay. Talk about, you know, sort of the inspiration. Where did this come from? How did this all come about?
So like all artistic projects, it came about through equal parts frustration and inspiration, and a good amount of timing played a role in it. So the frustration was that I was trying to put together a horror movie on a completely different subject.
So you thought of immigration. That makes sense, actually.
Well, my cinematographer, who also became one of the co-producers on this project, Ben Wolf, and I were working on it for a while. The money fell through. Hmm. We were both at a loss as to what to do next. And I'd been thinking maybe a web series was a new avenue to try because I had been through two very extraordinarily long and frustrating experiences in both my previous feature film went through the traditional distribution pathway, which takes a very long time. And I got a nonfiction book published, and, you know, there's nothing about book publishing that's fast in the world. So, you know, after having, you know, these multi-year things happening, multi-year projects happening where you're spending a lot of time just waiting for things to happen, I was like, let's make something that we can get out and have people see very quickly. I think it was Ben who first suggested that maybe we try something with our friends, many of whom are immigrants.
We are also looking forward to continuing our historical immigration series with the story of Thomas Wilkes I talked about in our last episode. For now, that's it for our first season. Thank you so much for being a part of it, and we look forward to seeing you in 2020.
Also, as always, if you're looking for legal advice, please, please, please don't rely on the podcast as your source. It's not intended to be legal advice for your experience because no immigration experience is alike, and so the advice that you need is going to be different from the next person. So if you need specified immigration advice for your circumstances, for your employees, whatever it is, email podcast@millermayer.com. That's podcast at millermayer.com. And the good folks at Miller Mayer will give you a 10% discount on your next immigration consultation. The Everyday Immigration Podcast is a production of Frosted Lens Entertainment. It's hosted by me, David Wilkes. Special thanks to Miller Mayer for letting us record in its offices and making its staff available to us. As I am an attorney, portions of this production contain attorney advertising, and prior results do not guarantee a similar outcome. In addition, this podcast is not intended to be legal advice and does not create an attorney-client relationship between its hosts, its guests, or its listeners. If you like what you hear, be sure to subscribe to the podcast on whatever platform you use and give us a review. You can also connect through Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, or on the web at frostedlens.com. We'll be back with another episode soon, and we'll see you then.